Tonight we're going to talk about matzah. We're getting close to Pesach, so we've discussed a lot of issues of matzah in the past, but we're going to focus on something a little bit different tonight, and that is whether machine matzahs or hand matzahs are better. We certainly know which one is more expensive, but which one is better to use for the mitzvah, and go back to discussing the controversy that arose in the middle of the 1800s when they first came out with the concept of machine matzahs, and try to figure out, you know, when you read these poskim, a lot of the poskim, you have to look at when the tshuvas were written and what kinds of machines they were probably using. Now, anything in the last 50 years, my guess is it hasn't changed that much in the last 50 years. So anything in the last 50 years were okay. In fact, I was just watching, as part of my research for this year, I was just watching a video of the Streitz Matzah Bakery, which I guess Martha Stewart did a piece on it, so they didn't necessarily show you all the critically important halachic components of it. It was more like showing you how these crazy Jews make their bread for Passover. But one of the things that the person who's running the bakery, the original Mr. Streitz, great-great-grandson, who's running the company, one of the things he said is that he pointed to a certain machine that was labeling the product, and he said, this machine we've had since, I think he said, 1942 or something like that, 1945, something like that. So the process, you get the impression that the process hasn't changed all that much, at least in the last 50 years. But in the first 50 years, or in the first 100 years probably or so, after they started developing these machines, the process does seem to have changed a lot. The original machines were really just a bunch of wheels and levers and things that were being moved around. It wasn't necessarily like pushing a button and having it all go. In fact, even the machines that they use, according to this video, are not all just pushing a button. I imagine that you push a button, flour would come out of here, water would come out of there, it would do all the kneading itself, it would go through a sheet to, you know, flatten it out, and then I thought it would all just happen on its own. It doesn't work like that. They take a big bowl of flour, like you would take a big bowl of flour, and they pour some water into the big bowl of flour, the machine drops some water into the big bowl of flour, and then they sit there stirring it with a little bit of help from the machine, but there's a person manning it as they're stirring it, and then they put the dough into the next machine that flattens it out and makes the matzah. So this issue of hand versus machine matzah was a tremendously a contentious issue for a very long time. To this day, there are many people that are makbid that they'll only eat hand shmura, and there are others, believe it or not, that are makbid that they will only eat machine matzah. They'll only eat machine shmura or machine matzah because they think that the machine is much more. Sometimes there's a certain amount of confidence we have in technology, so they believe that the machine is able to do certain things and have a certain efficiency and be mistake proof in a way that people aren't. And there's more likely. I was speaking to Rabbi Shmuel Marcus today, and I said, I thought I remember you telling me something about your grandfather, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, about how he was always makbid to only eat machine matzah. He said Streitz machine matzah. He was very makbid. He would only eat Streitz machine matzah every year. I said, why? He said, well, he took a tour once of one of the famous hand matzah bakeries in Brooklyn, and he came home with two matzahs. We said, he went to a matzah bakery, he came home with two matzahs. He said, I got the only two kashal Pesach matzahs in the whole place. So these are my two matzahs. He wasn't impressed with the way a lot of the things went in the hand matzah bakery. He was the Rav Machshir in a machine matzah bakery, so he knew what was going on there, and he thought that it was far and away a better product. So let's discuss what the issues are. First, just to give a little bit of background, just how contentious an issue this is, the Avnei Nezer gives us a bit of an idea. If you look at the first source, the Avnei Nezer, Archaim Sim Tov Kuf Lamed Vav, says the Avnei Nezer, Hein Hamorot Tzedek Rami Ki Laschem Bo Eilai Bekul Beno Rabba Ki Kipchu Es Parnasaso V'Goru Lo Mimaskurto HaKavua Lo. That the Avnei Nezer writes to a community, and he says, well, I understand what happened in your community, because the rabbi, the former rabbi of your community, came complaining to me that you took away his job, you fired him, vod shar devarim, and you ruined his life, va'kol machmas, and you did all this because, what was the great controversy in the community? Sha'asar samashin matzos. That rabbi had the gall to asr machine matzos, says the Avnei Nezer, so you guys fired him for asring machine matzos. Hineni lehodiachem ki ra be'enai hadavar ma'od. So the Avnei Nezer says, bad boys, they're not supposed to do that. You don't fire the rabbi when he asks his machine matzahs for two reasons. Hein guf a heter shel a mashin matzos, because I don't think the heter of mashin matzos is a good heter at all. I think mashin matzos are bad, the Avnei Nezer says, so I think the rabbi was right in what he said. And hein mashin ratfos amar tzedek avor sha'asar. And every time the rabbi gives a chumrah, you're going to fire the rabbi. What kind of rabbi do you expect to have? What kind of community do you expect to have if you're going to fire the rabbi for a chumrah? So he goes on to discuss the issue, but then he says, "Al kein ani maser eschem ma'od shetachziru hachnasas harav amar tzedek anal lekamos shahaya." You got to hire him back. You made a terrible mistake. Ve'as haminug harav me'amashin matzos tevatlu. And as far as your terrible minhag that you make machine matzos, get rid of that. And that should be a kapara for what you've already done. And Mirz Hashem, you should get schar for doing the right thing and for swallowing your pride and hiring the rabbi back after you fired him because of machine matzos. Can you imagine this is what was going on? That rabbis were getting fired over this psak, over this issue of whether machine matzos are valid or not. So let's discuss the issue a little bit. There's a lot written on this topic. There were entire publications dedicated to this topic. There was a whole kuntras of a moda'a dedicated to trying to show how machine matzos are kosher, and a response trying to, I forget which one was the first, which one was the response, another publication showing how they weren't kosher, with Gedolei Olam signed on both sides of the issue. And we're going to see who some of the Gedolei Olam were, but this was something that reached the highest levels of halachic discourse in terms of getting involved in this shaila. And probably the most contentious issue, and the issue that drew the most attention, because it's probably the most halachic issue, is whether you can have these matzahs on the night of the Seder for your mitzvah of matzah. I mean, forgetting any chametz issues, which is also an issue that they deal with, that there might be a chashash chametz on some of these machines, certainly the more primitive machines that they had back in the day, where they were a little more concerned about chametz. But even forgetting the chametz issues, if a machine is doing the work, does that by definition preclude the possibility of being able to use these matzos on the night of the Seder? Because there is a halacha that the matzos on the night of the Seder need to be made lishma. So a machine can't make matzos lishma at all. A machine doesn't have the ability to do anything lishma. So I thought the best summary of that issue is, as the best summary of many issues, it can be found in Rav Avadia Yosef's Tshuva and Yechav Adas. Rav Avadia Yosef, as I'm sure many of you know, has several Tshuva Svarim. His Yabia Omer is a little bit more difficult to read because it's like 10 pages. Each Tshuva is like 10 very tall pages with a lot of words, and each and 80% of the words are just names of sources, names of different svarim that he's quoting. You'll look like, oh, there's so much more to the paragraph, and then you realize it's the whole rest of the paragraph is v'chein kasa v'this, v'chein kasa v'that, v'chein kasa v'that, just like spitting it out like a computer, so it doesn't read really so nicely. And Yechav Adas, he controlled himself a little bit more. He sort of condensed it a little more. I think the rumor is that Yechav Adas was from the radio show. That was just off the cuff. When people would call in with shailas, it was whatever came to mind off the cuff. There was no research involved. So he was able to condense it a little more, makes it a little easier. But in the back of your packets, in Yechav Adas, Simen Yadal, and Mechelek Aleph, someone asked about machine matzos. So in the tshuva, he starts out by laying out the halacha. There's a gemara in Pesachim, and Chazal darshan pasuk, shmartem es hamatzos, asei lo shimur l'shem mitzvah. That you have to be shomer the matzah l'shem mitzvah. So the kasuv Rav Chaigon b'shi'iltos, and Rav Chaigon writes in the shi'iltos, shim losh es ha'isa, cheresh o shota o katan. What if you have a cheresh shota o katan who does the kneading of the dough? A shota is someone who's deranged. A cheresh is someone who's deaf. But now anyone who's let's say very developmentally disabled, mentally challenged, would probably be in the category of a cheresh or a katan if they are involved in the kneading. She'enem chayivim b'mitzvos. They're not chayiv in the mitzvah. See, a woman would be different. A woman is chayiv in the mitzvah of matzah. Thank God, the matzah bakeries wouldn't be able to function without the women that are working in those matzah bakeries. So it's very important for Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim has a drasha that calls that even though matzah is a mitzvah shasman grama, and therefore by all rights women should have been pater, but the Gemara is a drasha called sheyeshlo b'al tochel chametz yeshlo b'kum echol matzah. Anyone who's included in the yisro of chametz is included in the mitzvah of matzah. So Baruch Hashem, women are included in the mitzvah of matzah. We have no problem with women kneading the dough and making the matzah. But a cheresh, a shaita, a katan cannot make the matzah. Afal pisha afa osa Yisrael shachayim b'mitzvos. It's a major statement, Rav Chaigon says. Not only do you need shimur l'shma in the baking of the matzos, but in the kneading of the dough as well. You're not yotze the mitzvah of matzah without that. And he quotes from a Tshuvas HaRashba in Simul Chavav that shimur l'shei mitzvah is a din min haTorah in order to be yotze the mitzvah on the first night of Pesach. So he says, even if you have a Yisrael gadol bardas, the Rashba writes, Omer al Gabeim, standing and watching. You have the Mashkiach there the whole time, standing and watching. And the Mashkiach is saying, L'shem Matzah Mitzvah, which if you ever go to a matzah bakery, that's all they're saying the whole time. L'shem Matzah Mitzvah, because that's the din. It's not just Stam, they're so frum that that's the way they conduct themselves. That's also a nice thing that, I'm reminded of the story of Rav Salvechik has in the Tisha B'Av Sefer, how when he remembers when he was a boy, when he was a little boy, he was learning in cheder, and the cheder was very poor. They did not have any money, so they rented out a little space from a carpenter, and they learned in like the back room by the carpentry shop. And the carpenter, he said, wasn't a Talmud Chacham, but all he would do was Zog Tehillim all day long. And as he was putting together the different things that he was building, he would say a pasuk that made sense with what he was up to. Like when he'd finish off the last hammer and the last nail in the shtender that he was building, he would say, Kol HaNeshama Talakah HaLelukah, or something like that. He would always have a pasuk that fit. So there were people like that, that words of Kedusha would come out of their mouth associated with everything they do. That's not what's going on in the matzah bakery. The matzah bakery is much more important. It's a chiyuv, it's a requirement that you have to do it l'shma, and you have to say that you're doing it l'shma. And even if someone watching says that it's l'shma, you're not yotzei l'chiyuv, and that is clear. It's paskened in Shulchan Aruch. Now the question is why? Why is that the case? Why is it? Meaning, what has to be l'shma? The Gemara darshins ushmartem es hamatzos. So what has to be l'shma? The shmira has to be l'shma. What does the shmira mean? Shmira means just watching, just seeing how it goes. So why does it have to be that the action has to be l'shma? So I saw today, as I was looking around a little bit, that Rav Moshe Sturmbach in Mo'adim Uzmanim, Chelek Gimel, Siman Reish Samach Dalet, deals with this kasha. Minchas Chinuch already asks this kasha. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Yud says he looked all over the place, and he was always, he writes an interesting lashon. He says, V'lo ha-baishan lomad lo evosh lomar minolon the color he showed him din zeh. He says, I can't be embarrassed. I have to tell you that I have no idea where the Rishonim got this halacha. The Nihi Dabai Shimur L'Shma. I understand you need Shimur L'Shma. But Mikol Mokom Einu Doma Klal L'Get Olizvachim D'Gabei Get K'siv V'Kosav La V'Darshinun D'Maisa K'siv Yil L'Shma. What else do you need L'Shma by? You need L'Shma by a Get. Where do we learn L'Shma by a Get? V'Kosav La. So we darshan, because of law means lishma, that you have to write the get dafka for this woman. So it has to be dafka lishma. But we darshan on the words v'kasav la. So it makes sense that the ksiva, that the maisa, that the action has to be lishma. So I understand that very well. So if Cheresh HaTavakatan does the ksiva, it's not going to work because there's no lishma. But over here, says the Minchas Chinuch, v'chimavur b'torah de'ezem maisa, i'alisha, aktsira, tzarech lishma. Does it say anywhere in the Torah that the kneading of the dough, that the ktsira, that the harvesting of the grain, that needs to be lishma? Rak mavur d'rashimur tzarech lishma. All it says is that the shmira needs to be lishma. Im kena ikaru hashimur. Im kena filu lash gai ocherish hashayta katan v'yisrael omenu mashamar lishma. So even if someone is not chayiv in the mitzvah, is doing the actions, and a Jew is watching it, having in mind lishma, why wouldn't that work? Even if they're not having kavana, even the Yisrael shomer v'mechavin lishma v'enot doma. And he goes on to say it's not like any other halacha that requires lishma, where there's a din in the maisa. Over here, it's not a din in the maisa; it's a din in the Shmira. So that's the Kasha Minchas Chinuch asks. At the very end of the paragraph in source number 2, he writes, Ubinosi b'svarim v'risi b'sefer nahar shalom le'echa michach me'svarad amad v'zeh. So I looked all around to find someone who asked this Kasha, because it was killing me, and he says, I found one Svardic rabbi, the Sefer Nahar Shalom, asked this Kasha, v'kos v'shebe'emes keni das Rav Haigon muv v'betur simitav samach v'gam das harif arash. And he says, and this Svardi Rabbi, his way of solving the problem is by saying, yeah, there are a whole bunch of Rishonim that hold this way, that the Shmira Lishma is good enough, and even if a guy is doing it, that's fine. One of the things in the Martha Stewart video about the Streitz factory is the guy made a point of saying, these are all Shomer Shabbos Yidden handling the matzahs until they're fully baked. Once they're fully baked, then they have Goyim doing the breaking apart and the boxing or whatever. But the actual process of making the matzah, it's all Shomer Shabbos Jews. Why? Why are they so makbid? The Lishma only needs to be on the Shmira, asks him in Chas Chinuch. So this Sefer Nahar Shalom says, nah, Lader Rishonim hold it doesn't really have to be Jews. So he says, Min Chas Chinuch says, Nenesi Mod Shomer Al Zeh, I'm happy he asked the Kasha, but that which he says, that all the Rishonim don't really hold this way, Dochak be'enai, the Adra Bebem is Das Harbin Rishonim Achronim, the Torah Shulchan Aruch, Mavur Lahedya, Dosa Maisa Tzorach Lassos Lishma. He says, I don't care what he claims all the Rishonim hold, I know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And it says, Beferish and Tafsamach and Shulchan Aruch, that if a guy does the Elisha, and the Jew is standing right there, the Jew could be screaming from the rooftops that it's L'shei Matzah's Mitzvah, it is worthless. It doesn't work. So I don't care that you tell me that there's a Rishon here, a Rishon there, that it's good enough. It's not L'halacha. Why not? So Rav Sternbach, in Ma'ad Muzmanim, has two approaches to answer that question, and he thinks they have major ramifications in terms of how we're going to deal with machine matzah. So first he says, we're not going to read the whole thing inside, but source number 3 will start. I typed up this whole thing, it's probably full of typos. L'niyas daiti nira lomer tam chadosh b'biur ha'inyin. He says, I want to explain a new reason to explain this issue. De be'emes mitzad ha'shmira enoch inami sagi b'masha gadol omeru meshamer. It's true. For the shmira, having a Jew standing there watching is good enough. Avol b'matzah halo b'inon l'shma u'machsheves l'shma lo nitfas ala b'maisa. Says Rav Sternbach, there's an active requirement of Lashma. Meaning, Shmira doesn't only require watching and making sure that no chametz comes. There's this active requirement of Lashma. And that active requirement of Lashma has to connect to a Maisa on some level. Kigon, kishalash, va'ofe, like kneading or baking, chadome. Mashinkin Shmir Bialma, the less Pashum Maisa, Gumvorba Matsya, Mishamar Lav Kosa Maisa Dami. Just watching is not considered Maisa, Lo Nifas Baklal Machshavas Lishma. So the Machshava of Lishma doesn't connect when there's no Maisa. It needs to be grounded. The Machshava of Lishma needs to be grounded in the world of Maisa, in the world of action. Imkin Matsanami, Halalo Sagi, Bishmir Bialma, Limitfas Badin Shmir Lishma. So just watching it is not good enough. It's only when you're actually doing the Maisa, and that's why the Maisa needs to be done Lishma. However, if you look in the next paragraph, Amnam bi'ikr kushyan, lama lama hani gadol omer al gabav mishamar Lishma. So going back to this question, why doesn't it help to have a Jew standing there? Ubiyarnu dachisar mnei shalom nitfas al shmir din Lishma. And I gave the answer because it needs some action to connect to. He says, I'm not so happy with that answer. Lo nach daiti b'tirutze, k'dei tzarech, dahatei nachi lo avit shum maisa, shabir b'yanu de lo ma'an shalom nifas makshavas l'shma. Remember what we said? We said that if a guy does the lisha, even if a Jew does the afiyah, does the baking, that it's still no good. Well, if the Jew's doing the baking, there's something for the lishma to connect to. So what's the problem? If the whole vart is that the lishma needs to be grounded in a maisa, so let him do some maisa, any sort of maisa. Why does a Jew have to do everything? Everything until it's fully baked? So tzarech bir, that requires a little bit of further analysis. However, says Rav Sternbach, I have another approach. In the third paragraph, Mutsasi derech acher bi yishuv akushya, va'emes ta'atam imre she'in adam mishamer mash biyad chavero. He says the guy could be, the mashkech could be standing there watching, but there's an inability to do proper shmira when someone else is doing the actions. You can't accurately and carefully watch something and guard something that somebody else is involved in. But I don't think it's just a din of mitzius that you're not going to be able to see what the other guy is doing. He says you have to look at a chsam sofer. The chsam sofer is going to open up the world for us in terms of understanding what that means, that when someone else is doing it, I can't do a shmiru l'shma. In the chsam sofer, it goes to the Shulchan Aruch and Simitav Samach, Bisfar Mechudesha Shehiksha, Maishna Lisha Vafiyah Delomahani Ba'akum Uksira Tchina Moil. Why is it that a guy is able to harvest and grind, he's not able to knead and bake? V'tire Salash Va'ofe Hu Atzmo Tzarech Liyosa Meshamer Mikol Chimutz She'itza Tachas Yadav. When it comes to the kneading and the baking, where there's a real danger of chimutz, you yourself need to be involved. So now that you need shmiru l'shma, you can't have a guy doing the kneading. We pass mishas lisha ve'elach. That's when you need the full shmiru l'shma, only from the time of the kneading and on. Aval shmir diktzira eino l'shlo tipol al chitim mayim. What's the shmiru that we do mishas ktzira? That's just to make sure it doesn't become chametz, that there's no water that comes in contact. Mishas lisha, the shmiru rises to a new level. It's a shmiru l'shma that's required. So to watch a guy who harvests and make sure there's no water that comes in contact, that you could do. But to do a shmiru l'shma from the time of lisha and on, that you can't do unless you're the one actively involved. So what's pshat? Why is that the case? So he explains in the next paragraph. V'nira levayir devarav hakadoshim de'be'emes tzarech lavin. It should not be ger. I don't know what the word should be. Gan. I don't know. Hashmira to be inor b'mitzvos. Oba memeskayim ushmartem. Vehevi anetziv zatzal b'meshiv davar. Hamishna para. Okay, I don't want to get involved in the whole mishnah of para. But the gedder of shmira is to do whatever is within your power to protect it. So he says, v'chein b'matza helasham. D'chiv shmira kefiya efshar midin Torah. V'as yishapir shim katan rakum lash. It's not that you're physically incapable of watching over something that somebody else is doing, but it's not going to be as good. And the requirement of Shmira is to do the best possible Shmira. So the Shmira is mutal on the person who himself is doing it, because that is the highest level Shmira that one is able to do. Now, given that background, if that's the vart, the reason that you have to be involved is because the highest level shmira is what's required, and your highest level shmira is when you're actively involved. He says, now let's talk about machine matzos in the next paragraph. V'achshav novel matzos mechano kvar nechliku gedol yom zatzal im nachshir mekol yimei ha-pesach u'be'agadah shal pesach ma'odim muzmanim ha'arachnu b'bir ha-dvarim. He says, I already discussed this in my agadah, ain't tzarech lichbol kan, I don't have to discuss everything again. But, no gea to this discussion. He says, "Ayn Shem Sheivenu Shafilu b'Matzah Shnefu b'Mashin b'Hidur Har BeGedolim Tzadikim Asru." Even machine matzahs that are made very carefully, many people ask for them. Afilu l'kol haPesach, rak l'nogin lechol kol Pesach, yesh l'fak b'Ma'odim Yotzin b'Uchavas Mitzvah b'Layla Rishona. And we have to really question whether you yotzi the mitzvah with it to be in on the Shema Dafka. V'Shamanu b'Mitzvahs Goni Litas Atzal Shechshiru. Says there are a few great rabbis that said that it's kosher. People by the name of the Or Sameach and Reb Chaim Ozer, so some pretty big names. Avol Heimari B'Sug Mechunash Tzarich Dafka Tamid Gam Kein Eizem Maisa B'Dayadam. They're talking about different machines where people are constantly involved, but with the advent of better technology, where people all they essentially do is push a button and the rest happens on their own, there's no way it's going to work. However, he says, maybe based on my vart, it's not so bad. In the next paragraph, Amnam Lafia Svar Shabiarnu Vizbarnu Divrech Sam Sofer Nir Demoil. Maybe it does work. To be'etzim sagi v'shmir l'shma. Really, shmir l'shma is enough. V'hadatzarch ma'isav. Meaning, really, you don't need a ma'isa. You just need to be shomer l'shma. Why is it that we require you to be involved? Just because that's the highest level of shmira. That's the best way you'll ever be able to watch it. Haynum neisha b'zeh shmir mu'ula tvei. Aval b'matzel machshirin b'matzos machine daitam dezeu hashmirach imu'ula. Those people who hold machine matzos are kosher also very often hold, like Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, they're not just kosher, that's the best way to protect the matzos from ever becoming chametz. That is the shmira ma'ula. So if you hold that the machine is the best way to protect the matzos, There's no din that you have to be doing a ma'isa lishma. The din is you need to be doing a shmira lishma. Why do we normally require a ma'isa? Because while you're doing a ma'isa, you're able to do a better shmira. But in the machine matzah, you're doing a better shmira by letting the machine do the ma'isa, and by you doing the shmira. I mean, let's say you're a terrible matzah baker, and you would leave pockets of dough, and you would just do a terrible job of it. So Rav Shturmbach would say, l'chora, according to this Chassam Sofer, that you're better off having a guy who's a good matzah baker do the lisha, and you can do the shmira l'shma, because that's the highest level of shmira that you can do. You're not going to be able to protect it if you're making bad matzahs, if you're making matzahs that have legitimate kashash limits. You're going to have all those shma things in mind, but it doesn't matter if you're making chametz. Right? So it's not going to help you. So the same over here. By the matzah machine, if you hold that the machine is the best thing to make kosher matzahs, that is the shmira mu'ula. So that's what he wants to taina on behalf of those who think it's good. He happens to think you should stay away from it, and the machine matzahs, you should be choshesh that it is a problem with shma, because again, it's all based on this vart, meaning we know what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says that you need to do the ma'isa l'shma. So, you know, as much as he wants to say a vart, why that should be so, and be mechadish based on that vart, but it's a vart. You need a raya.
Yeah, the ula is not an active thing you do. It's a totsa. It's not a ula. The shmira itself, there's no
pu'ul.
If a machine can do it, there's not an active shmira.
Right.
It's just a state of being
shomer. Right. Well, yeah. Well, you have to be shomer. You have to be guarding it, but there's no mice involved. It's just that you have to be there.
The machine unattended. You have to have someone there.
Right. You just certainly need to be omed al gabav. Right. You need to be standing right there for sure. Now, going back to Rav Vadya. So Rav Vadya says, okay, so if you need the Shema, and the Maisa has to be done the Shema, the Lish has to be done the Shema, the Afi has to be done the Shema, checkmate, we're done. There's no way. If a Cheresh of a Katan can't bake your matzahs, a machine can't bake your matzahs, because a machine is no more capable of Lishma than a Cheresh of a Katan is capable of Lishma. And you might say, says Rav Vadya in the second paragraph, you might say, no, this is better than a Cheresh of a Katan, because Cheresh of a Katan are dafka doing it for whatever they have in mind. But the machine is stam. It's stam lishma. Maybe min astam you could assume it's lishma. So he points out that Netziv in his Hamak Sheela totally rejects that. And he says by matzahs we don't say stam lishma. You have to actually say it beferish. But he says, here's where maybe there is a lishma involved. Someone's got to push the button. Someone's got to turn the machine on. That's a maisa. And that's a maisa that affects the kneading and the baking and everything. So just like the Shulchan Aruch says a Jew has to do the kneading and do the baking, maybe you are doing the kneading and the baking by pushing the button on the machine. That's all your maisa. So this is where the post can get involved in a major discussion about Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. How much, when you push a button and a whole process starts that can go on for hours and hours and produce hundreds of thousands of matzahs, how much did you do? Is it all your koach rishon, your original maisa, or is some of this considered too far disconnected from where you are? So the Kavner Rav had an assumption. The Kavner Rav assumed, he wrote about this, and he assumed that the first 30 seconds or so after you touch a button, that's all your maisa. After that, it's koach sheni. So that won't help the machine people at all. The first 30 seconds, they don't have anything. So then none of the matzahs will be okay. So Rav Vadya quotes that there are several poskim that think that maybe setting up the system, pushing that button, is better than a grama, that it's actually your koach. There are a few places where you need kocho, and you have to look through the sugis and shas carefully. At the beginning of Masechus Chulin, shchita requires a koach rishon, requires your koach. So you have to look at what's called koach rishon and koach sheni by shchita. In Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Zayin, the Gemara discusses the act of murder. If a person kills somebody, the koach rishon, he's going to be chayiv misa, but if he kills somebody with a grama or a koach sheni, Gemara talks about if you tie somebody down and then you open up a dam so the water flows right over him and drowns him, so are you chayiv misa for doing that? So the Gemara says it depends. If it's that first gush of water that killed him, so then, yeah, that's kocho, that's koach rishon, you chayiv. But if it's more removed from you, and exactly how to understand that Gemara's part of the machlokas. If it's more removed from you, let's say, like some rishonim say, you're further away. You open up the dam like a mile away, and by the time it gets to him, it's not the original gush anymore, then you're not going to be chayiv. So it all relates to that issue. How much of a pushing of a button is called kochel, how much is koch rishon, how much is called koch sheni? So Rav Avadia quotes that there are a number of major poskim that assume pushing the button is an asil, the shema. So it is kochel, it's your meisin, you're doing it lishma. Who are these major poskim? He quotes the Chesel Avram, and again, in Yechav Das, he controlled himself. So he only quotes the Chesel Avram, the Chuvus Marsham in two places, the Achdiezer, the Chuvus Taurus Rafael, the Chuvus Eretz Tzvi, and the Chazanish, and the Chuvus Har Tzvi. Pretty good, he didn't go nuts, he kept it to under, you could still count on both your hands. So, and it's another cute thing Rav Avadia always does, when he quotes an Igros Moshe, for instance, he always quotes, Ha'Igros Moshe Feinstein. Like he always adds in the last name of whoever. So he quotes the Shalos Tshuvos Eretz Tzvi Frumer. There is no Shalos Tshuvos Eretz Tzvi Frumer. The Tshuvos Eretz Tzvi is the Kozhik Lover Gon. His name was Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frumer. So Rav Avadia likes to add in the last name as well. So this is all of those great Gedolim, great Gaonim. The Kozhik Lover was a Talmud of the Avni Nezer. He was one of the brilliant Talmidim of the Avni Nezer. He was a Rebbe, a Rosh Shiva in Chachmei Lublin, where the Bachrim had to, I think, know 500 block Gemara to be able to get into the yeshiva. So probably some of the Rebbeim were pretty good too. So, and his tshuvas are all brilliant. Everyone is brilliant. You don't have to agree with all of them, but they're all brilliant. Everyone is with a chav. So anyway, so all of these posts can think that it's all called kochel. So says Rav Avadia, if that's all you got, if that's the only matzah you have is machine matzah, these gedolim are kedai lismoch aleihem, that you could rely on them and use the machine matzah for your seder. And he says, plus you should know, as another sniff lahakel, there is a tshuva in the Anagyantif where the Anagyantif writes that let's say you don't have shmura matzah, you have matzah tzan chametz, but there's never shmira l'shma. So he says your yotze yuchiv of matzah with shmura, with non shmura matzah, you're just not yotze the mitzvah of shmura matzah. You're not yotze the mitzvah of shmartem as a matzos, but yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So it's still something, and it wouldn't be a brach levatala if you make a brach on such matzah. Such a chiddush, an unbelievable chiddush that yotze the pasuk barbas or the chodesh barev tochlu matzos. Because you are eating matzos, you're just not yotzei ushmartem as a matzos. He says similar to what the Avnei Nezer writes in the name of the Maharal Miprag. Maharal writes that if on the first night of Pesach you only have matzah ashira, which Ashkenazim hold as chametz nuksha, we don't eat matzah ashira. Matzah ashira egg matzos, right? If we have egg matzos, that's all you have on the first night for whatever reason. So he says you chayev to eat a kazayas of it, and by eating kazayas of it, says Maharal, you yotzei be'erev tochlu matzos. You're just not yotzei lechem oni. Meaning there's so many dinim within matzah, so many different psukim that define it in different ways, you could very often be yotzei one pasuk and not the other pasuk. Ideally, obviously, we try to be yotzei everything, but so says the Avnei Nezer. And the Eretz Tzvi even goes so far as to say, this is really a wild chiddush, that if you have matzah that's not shamar l'shem mitzvah, it's not a chshash of brach levatala, because there's a ktsas mitzvah in eating it, there's a partial mitzvah in eating it. That's not the wild part. He says, it's like if you were to eat a chatzi kezayis of matzah, where it's this is like a chatzi shirin echos as opposed to a chatzi shirin kamos. You eat a chatzi kezayis of matzah, you're eating half of the quantity that you need to have. So you're eating matzah, it's not shomer, it's not shmura, so you're doing half of the quality of the mitzvah that you're supposed to do. So it's not a brach levatala. So I don't even understand the nimshal, the mashal or the nimshal. What's he talking about? It's like eating a chatzi zayis of matzah. That's not a bracha levatala? You make a bracha lechilas matzah and eat a chatzi zayis, not a bracha levatala? Unbelievable. What's he talking about? I don't understand what he's talking about. Rav Avadia doesn't either. He says, I don't know where that comes from. There is a discussion in the poskim. If let's say you have one kazayis of matzah and two Jews, is there such a din of chatzi shir by mitzvos? We know there's a din of chatzi shir by yisurim, by averos, that chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. Is there any kiyum mitzvah when you eat a chatzi shir? So that's a major discussion. We once had a shir on that. I have a 10-page article on that topic, and I could write another 10 pages on it from sources I found since I wrote that article. There's so much out there on whether there's a chatzi shir, a din of chatzi shir in kiyum mitzvos. But even if there is a din of chatzi shir, you certainly can't make a bracha of alachilas matzah on a chatzi shir. And vada, if there's no kiyum, then of course you cannot make a bracha of alachilas matzah on a chatzi shir.
The question is,
what the shear is. The shear is.
Oh, what the shear is a different issue. That's true.
That's
yeah,
a,
in Achinami.
From way back.
Yeah, yeah. So this I mentioned to the women. You know, every chumrah leads to a kula. Not every, almost every chumrah somehow leads to a kula. So the chumras and the shiurim have led to this tremendous kula by literally taking 50% of Klal Yisrael and stopping them from even trying to be mekayim the mitzvah. I don't know, maybe this is just my own experience. At a seder, you look around at how much matzah the women are eating. Women are chayiv and matzah the same way men are chayiv and matzah. How many, the men have their charts and they fold out, you know, the whole chart. And they measure, make sure they're eating all the biggest possible shiur. Women see that, and what do? A little nibble. That's it. I'm not doing that. So I might as well just take a little nibble. That's enough for me. That's not the mitzvah. They need to eat a kazayis. So if we're more reasonable about our shear of a kazayis, then there's a better chance that everybody will actually try to eat a kazayis. Rav Shechta said that when his father-in-law was living by Rav Shimon Shkup's house, Rav Shechta's father-in-law was a rebbe in Tor V'das, and he wrote the Shari Yosher for Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon apparently wasn't a very good writer, and Rav Shechta's father-in-law was a very good writer, very poetic type of writer. He did too good a job in the Shari Yosher. I can't understand what he says, but he lived with Rav Shimon writing the Shari Yosher for a couple of years. So he said that at Rav Shimon's Seder, he would take a matzah and break off 5 or 6 kazesim from the matzah to hand around the table. So he says he wasn't a bal maifis that he was able to make the matzah. It was one matzah, he got 5 or 6 kazesim. Because mistama, the shir kazayis, is about a fifth of a matzah. That's it's about the shir kazayis. It doesn't have to be necessarily the biggest shirim. Someone just told me today that one of the teachers in DRS, Rabbi Mel David, a wonderful guy, said that his grandfather was an old Hungarian Jew who lived by the Shevet Sofer. He was a Talmud of the Shevet Sofer and lived by him for 4 years. And you remember when he was young, his grandfather was giving out the matzah and gave him like a fifth of a matzah or something for a kazayis. He said, Zaidi, you know, or Zaidi, whatever, this I lived in yeshiva, it's got to be much bigger, the double shiurim, the Yibi Yehuda. And he gave him all the marmakom and said, listen, I lived by the Shevet Sofer for 4 years, and this is what he did at the Seder. If I go to Gehenim, because this is my Shir Kazayis, at least I'll have my Rebbe with me, because I know this is exactly what he did, and we'll have a great time together. So he said, I'm not so... So it's true, the Shir of the Kazayis, you have to be reasonable in what the Shir is. You want to be machmir, but be very clear to everybody else that, first of all, don't do anything dangerous. If you're going to be machmir, don't make them call atzala in order to deal with your choking or whatever else. So, and also, don't, you have to make sure that other people don't think that that's the din. It's chumra is a chumra, which is wonderful, but it's not necessarily the din. Okay, but that's... Where was I? That's all in terms of the lishma issue on the matzah. So Rav Adya thinks that there's certainly what to be makel with. Now, moving on to the other issues that they dealt with when it comes to Mishim Matzahs, there was a concern, at least at the beginning, of a Chashash Chimutz, that there were several concerns that there might be a Chametz issue with the Mishim Matzahs. What were the issues? First of all, the Divrei Chaim in source number 5, says, Dai lesa b'zeh b'mashkoz v'agom reiner of Mordechai Zev sh'rah be'enav ki efshar ligrar heitev ha'nidbak bo. Says they leave dough attached to the side of the machine. They don't clean the machines well. So if dough is sticking on the side of the machine, then the machine matzah is chametz, because they have mashu chametz in every single one of them. More than a mashu chametz. So that would be terrible. If that, in fact, were the case, that could be terrible. In the video that I saw of the Streitz Matzah Bakery, they have mashkichim scraping down the thing. As soon as the clock hits 18 minutes, they're scraping down the mixing bowl and all. They have to, because if there's anything that sticks to the side of the machine, that's a real problem. They don't show you how they scrape down like the oven, well, not the oven, but the part that flattens it, and they only show you how they're scraping down the mixing bowl. So I'm not really sure exactly how that works, but no one's going to give a hashkacha, hopefully, on a matzah bakery that doesn't clean out the machines. So if they have a dough just sitting there, that would be a big problem. Another issue, Rav Shlomo Kluger was one of the big opponents. He was not happy about machine matzahs at all. And one of the things he writes is that the machine, first of all, there is a halacha. What's the definition of chametz? Just a little bit of background. The definition of chametz is you have flour and water, the flour from the 5 grains, and water mixed together, left alone for 18 minutes. not being handled, not being manipulated. So long as you're handling it, you're manipulating it, you're moving it, it doesn't have a chance to become chametz. So theoretically, you could be sitting there kneading it and moving it and moving it for an hour, and it won't become chametz. Right? But the less you handle it, the more the chance of chimutz. So Shlomo Kluger wasn't convinced that the machines were doing a good enough job handling and moving the dough constantly. And he thought they may be sitting still a little too much, increasing the chance of chimutz. Because the more handling of the dough, the more manipulation of the dough, the greater the chance of avoiding chimutz. Also, Shlomo Kluger points out that there is a Gemara in Pesachim, and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Ein Lashon Esi'isa B'Poshrin, that you're not supposed to knead it with lukewarm water. And the reason is that, and not only that, Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't do the matzah kneading right near an oven, right near where it's very hot. Because if you're too close to where it's very hot, the heat itself might cause the chimutz. It might speed up the process of chimutz. So if the heat itself is going to speed up the process of chimutz, going back to these machines, they turn on the machine, so for the first 5 minutes, the machine is still cool. But once a motor is running for a while, the whole machine gets hotter. That's the way any machine works. Our machines, we still haven't figured out how to solve that problem, right? We have fans in the back of our computers to stop it from burning out every single time we use it. So they were afraid, or Shlomo Kluger was afraid, the machine is getting too hot. If the machine is getting too hot, that's also going to speed up the chimutz process. So he said, I'm choshish, that it's going to be a real problem of chametz. Another issue a number of the poskim raise is that another chametz related issue is that machines tend to get old, and when they get old, they're a little less efficient. And you're going to tell someone, yeah, this machine is kosher, and he's going to continue to use it for the next, since 1945 or whenever they've been using the, that's just a packaging machine by Stratz, but whatever, you know, they're going to continue using the machine for 60 years, and 60 years later, it's not acting the same way it acted 60 years earlier. And they're never going to listen if you say, stop using this machine, because they already, no, this machine has the hashkacha of, the Gadol Hador from 60 years ago, so how can you tell me to stop using? So he said, I'm choshesh, the machines get old. I didn't understand this time at all, because you know what else gets old? People. People get old too, and people sometimes are also not so zahir in being able to, what are you going to do, fire the person? Yeah, if they're making chametz, then you're gonna tell the person, sorry, you know, this isn't for you anymore. The same way, hopefully, you would do with a machine. That you realize that when it's getting old. So that time is a little bit hard to understand. Shlomo Kluger also points out that another chashash was that apparently in matzah bakeries, very often they would find a little kernel of wheat that wasn't fully mixed in with the dough, but they hadn't become part of the dough. And that kernel of wheat, if it later comes into contact with water, will be a real problem of chametz. It's just being machmetz the entire time. So when it's done by hand and you're monitoring the whole process with your eyes, you'll be able to pull it out and you'll be able to notice it before it gets to a point where it's been in contact with water for 18 minutes. But if you're doing it by machine, he thinks that that's a problem. Now, at the end of the day, is there really a chashash chimutz by our matzos? So pashtus is by the machines that we have making matzos in Stritz and in all the other places. I keep saying Stritz because that's the video I saw of them. But really, in any of the places that have a reasonable hashkacha, there's not a chashash chimutz. The primary issue for us is not a chashash chimutz. If you look in the tshuvas of Rav Menashe Klein, Zechron Levracha, in the Chuvas Mishnah Alachas, Chelik Yeral, Simishin Samach, he writes, Hayari is Tavar Hashem Lefiyani Yistaiti Vada Yishlachush, is what to be concerned about, not to use it. Mi Mikol Makom Ha'ochel Mi Mashin Matzos, Ein Lechashro Karasha, Over Chashron Bisr Kareis, O Besafek Me'achar Shehu Oseyu Al Pior Ras Rav, O Shekibu Me'avosav. He said, you can't say that anyone who eats machine matzos is a rush or he's violating his... Sfirlu Shekein Alach, they hold that Alach is it, that's right. Uldaito Ein Kan Yisru Chametz Klal, V'chas V'sholom L'chashto B'dover Achri, you can't be choshed anyone for Nisru Chametz for using machine matzos. But then there's a third category of problems, and that is that maybe there's a requirement that a person should be actively involved in making the matzos, and that it just takes away the whole experience of matzah baking when it's a machine doing the whole thing. The whole point is that it's supposed to be our involvement. Who tells me that the whole point is supposed to be our involvement? So there are makoros along those lines that suggest the Mechilta in source number 11 that we took a b'simlosim al tzrurus b'simlosim al shichma and we wrapped up the dough and carried it on our shoulders v'chilohay b'yadon malital el melamit shay mechavin es a mitzvah, that we dafka wanted to be actively involved, we dafka wanted to hold hold it, that that's part of the chibuv mitzvah of matzah. But one could argue, you know, it's an even better chibuv mitzvah of matzah, is making sure that your matzah doesn't become chametz. And if you have a machine that's more capable of seeing to it that that would be the case, then maybe that would be better. Another concern that the post can raise is you're going to put people out of a job. Now, this has nothing to do with machine matzahs or hand matzahs. This is a much bigger issue of easy pass versus a toll booth, or of anything that machines have taken over, taken over jobs that other people have. So I think the way the world generally works is, yes, machines take over a lot of jobs, but they also create a lot of jobs, because you need machine repairmen, and you need people who are developing new machinery, and technology is an industry where a lot of people are working in technology. So I don't know if the net, you have to speak to an economist or whatever, someone who knows a little better, what the net result of that is in terms of the losing of the jobs or the gaining of the jobs. There were other arguments as well. Shlomo Kluger was not happy about the fact that machines had to make square matzahs, and when they tried to make them circles, they would take a little cutter and cut circles out of the squares, and that was a big problem, because then they had extra fragments of dough that were lying around, and that's never a good thing in a matzah bakery. Sometimes just put them back together and try to put them back in the machine. So they insisted maybe just keep it a square matzah so that you don't have these extra fragments lying around. So at the end of the day, many poskim are mekel to certainly that everyone, I think, is pretty much makel the sanach shash chimutz. Many are machmir dafka, have hand shmura, because they think that's the only thing that's on the shema, and that's the way you mean mekayim the mitzvah. Even if you hold that there's only, even though the chiyuv of matzah is only the first night, there's a kiyum mitzvah throughout the entire yantiv. So many people are machmir about that. Others are machmir, fewer, but others are machmir. I think Rav Kook was machmir, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was machmir to dafka only have machine matzah, because they think the machines are more efficient, and everyone should follow their minhagim and their psakim.